Hannah's lessons for mothers and others. I've always loved the name Hannah. When we had our first daughter and only daughter, Anna, we considered that name. We thought about Hannah, and we both really liked it. And one of the things I loved about that name, Hannah, was that it meant favor, grace. And if you don't know a good definition of grace, hear this. Grace is God's free, unearned, undeserved favor and love and mercy that He just pours out upon you continuously like a waterfall. That's grace. So I liked the meaning of that name, Hannah. We both did. Now, at that time, it seems like there were a lot of girls being named Hannah, and we kind of looked elsewhere as we prayed and thought about different names, and we decided on Anna. And we loved Anna, and the thing I loved about Anna was this woman in the Bible that had been married for 7 years, and then we don't know how, but her husband passed away, and she became a widow. And for many, many years from then on, and when we hear about her in Luke chapter 2, she's 84 years old, and she's just always at the temple. It says that she was just praying and fasting continuously at the temple. And she was there, and God used her when Mary and Joseph came up with that baby Jesus, and she just knew who that was. She had been awaiting this Messiah through all this prayer, all this fasting. And she knew as they came up, she said, "Let me tell you about this child. Let me tell you about this child." And so we love the name Anna, and we gave Anna her name. And a little bit later on, I found out that Anna means favor and grace. So we got the best of both worlds. But Hannah, it's a popular name. Anna has many Hannah friends. I saw one in Publix last night getting some Mother's Day stuff. Saw Hannah. Told Anna when I got home. Don't want to confuse you, Anna and Hannah, but it happened that way. Well, let's see what lessons we can learn from Hannah in the Scriptures. Hannah in the Bible. Let's look at some lessons for mothering, but not only that, for fathering and for all of life. There are some lessons we can learn from Hannah. I know it's Mother's Day. And so I know all you mothers are tuning in, hopefully. And I know all you others, you kids and dads and others are tuning out. This is going to be a Mother's Day message. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. Well, it is. And it's more. It's Hannah's lessons for mothers and others. So turn with me to 1 Samuel. And if you're new at this, when you open your Bible, you've got those first five books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Keep on flipping. You'll see Ruth and then you'll find 1 Samuel. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. Where we find Hannah. Let's look at verses 9 through 20. But let's pray before we go any further. Father, we just ask that you would speak to us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for its application to our lives. Lord, we thank you that your word is living, that it's active. Lord, that this is not a book. This is much more like a phone. Lord, that when we look into your word, you speak. When we read it with an open heart, when we hear your word, Lord, that is your voice. So, Lord, I don't want to foul this up. Lord, would you get me out of the way? Lord, let us hear your voice, your message. Speak to each of our hearts, including my own, and let us go and obey you. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we find Hannah in the Scriptures. Now, Hannah was married to this man, Elkanah, and he had another wife, too, Peninnah, and she had children, and Hannah was not able to have children. The Lord had closed Hannah's womb, and she could not have children. And so, every year, Elkanah, in verse 3, of 1 Samuel chapter 1, you see that year after year, this man went up from his town, Elkanah, her husband, went up from this town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, so Elkanah would come, he'd bring his two wives, they would bring their sacrifices each year, they would come up here to worship the Lord, and he would give the portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters, because she could have children. And then in verse 5, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 6, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? And here we pick up in verse 9. This is really where I want to zone in today with you to learn these lessons from Hannah. Look at verse 9 through 20. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. This is the priest there. He observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. And then as you read further, you find out that she was a great mother. She cared for him. She weaned him and she kept him as long as she could before her vow. And then what did she tell the Lord she would do? She said, I will give him over to the Lord and he will be the Lord's servant. And so when he was weaned and later she brought him to the Lord, to the temple, to Samuel, and she dedicated him. She gave him to the Lord. What an example. Hannah has some lessons here for you mothers and for all of us others. There are some great lessons here. First of all, learn from Hannah to pour your heart out to the Lord. Pour your heart out to the Lord. You see that in 9 through 11 and 15 and 16. You see her pouring her heart out to the Lord. She was praying in such a way that her mouth was moving, but she was just crying out to the Lord with all of her heart. And the priest, observing her and watching her, thought, this woman's drunk. What is she doing? But no, she was so desperate for the Lord that she was just moved and in spirit, just pouring out her heart to God. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I would bet there is something you need to pray for like Hannah was praying. I bet there's something in your life that you need to pour out your heart before the Lord. like Hannah. I mean intense prayer. I mean working in prayer. I mean crying out to God like Jesus did. You know, Scripture tells us about how Jesus cried out to the Lord with loud cries and emotion. Jesus prayed in that way at times. Maybe you need to pray in that way about that thing in your life that you're concerned about. Maybe it's for your children as a mother. Maybe there's some burden, there's something about your children. And maybe you need to pray like this, like Hannah did. She wanted a child. She was praying for her future child and she was pouring out her heart to the Lord. Maybe you need to do that on behalf of your children. Not only a mother, maybe us fathers and others. Maybe it's something else in your life. But you know you need to pray like Hannah did. Pour out your heart to the Lord. That's the first lesson we can learn from Hannah. The next one is don't care what others think. When you do it, when you pour out your heart to the Lord, well, you want this thing and you're praying for this thing like nothing else. Don't care what others think. Don't care what anybody thinks about it. We learned that from Hannah. Did you notice that with Hannah? She didn't care what others thought. She cared about her Lord. She cared about her need and this future son that she desired. And she could care less what Eli, that priest, or whoever was watching her, what they were thinking. She was just pouring out her heart to the Lord. And he even thought she was drunk. I guess she looked a little weird or a little odd or something. She didn't care. He thought she was drunk. But you know what? She was living for an audience of one. She was living for the Lord. She was pouring her heart out to her Lord. You and I need to live for an audience of one, don't we? We don't need to care about what anybody thinks, about what the Lord's doing in our life and what He's telling us. We need to live for an audience of one. There's a great song. You may have heard that song. I love that song by, it's a funny name, Big Daddy Weave. Audience of One. That's a great song. I was going to play it. I didn't get that. But listen to it when you have the time. You can find it on YouTube. You can find anything on YouTube. Well, how bad do you want this prayer answered? How bad do you want Him? How bad do you want the Lord? How bad do you want to see Him move in your life? How bad do you want to see Him work on your behalf? Let me ask you this. Do you want Him and His approval more? Or do you want the approval of others more? And when it comes down to the line, which way do you choose? When you're given that choice and you can either please Jesus and do what He wants, but then you'll displease others. Or you can please others and not look funny or whatever, but you'll displease Him. What do you choose? How bad do you want Him? How bad do you desire Him? How bad do you desire this thing that you're praying about, that you're pouring your heart out to the Lord for? Are you willing to desire Him more than anyone or anything else? Peter didn't for a little while. Peter went the other way, didn't he? Peter had that choice and Jesus was being brought and he was being tried, and three different times Peter had to make that decision. People would say, "You're one of His disciples, aren't you? You were with Him. I saw your accent gives it away. You're a Galilean. You were with Him." No, I wasn't. What was Peter doing? He was caring what people thought, wasn't he? He wasn't just living for an audience of one at that time, was he? He wasn't just focused on his Lord Jesus and loving Him with all that He is and not caring what the people think, saying, "Yeah, He's my Lord. I'm following." No, what did he denied Him three times. You have that choice. Watch out. You can fall like Peter. Praise the Lord in His grace. He He restored Peter, and He'll restore you if you've fallen in that area. But don't care what others think. That's the second lesson we learn from Hannah. So pour out your heart to the Lord. Don't care what others think. And finally, we learn, be willing to give all, be willing to give back to Him what He gives to you. That's another lesson we learn from Hannah. Be willing to give back to Him what He gives to you. Ask yourself that question. If He gives it to me, am I willing to say, it's yours, Lord, I'll give it back to you whenever you want it. We see that in 11b and 17 and 19 through 20 and 24 through 28. All those verses. We see that we need to be like Hannah. We need to learn this lesson. We need to be willing to give back to Him what He gives to us. Maybe your prayer is you're praying about that thing, whatever it is in your life, and maybe you're saying, Lord, if you will just entrust me with it, Lord, if you will give it to me, then maybe you want to go Hannah's route and you want to say, Lord, I'll give it back to you. I'll use it for you. Whatever it is, I'll give it back to you. I'll use it the way you want me to use it. I'll do what you want me to do with it. I'll even give it back to you, Lord. We see this with Job. Do you remember everything that Job went through? Lost his 10 children, and Satan just went on a rampage against Job, God's servant. And God allowed it, and God tested Job, and he went through horrible, horrible, horrible things. Just read the book of Job. And then at one point, God made a little plant grow up beside him. And that little plant provided some shade. And he had a little bit of joy for just a little bit. He had a plant with some shade, and he got so happy about that plant because the Lord gave him that plant. But then the Lord appointed a worm to go and eat that plant, and then the worm ate the plant, and then the plant died. And then Job was so angry. He was so upset. He had held on to that plant. He was so upset because it was taken away from him. And God was giving him an example of... I'm telling two different stories. Y'all forgive me. I'm talking about Jonah. Forget anything I said about Job. I'm sorry. It's Jonah. Forgive me. But Jonah had this plan. He had a little bit of joy. He wasn't willing to obey God. And God was just teaching him. God was giving him a visual picture of the way he felt about this certain people. God didn't want to have to destroy this people. And he was teaching Jonah. But the Lord gave and the Lord took away. What is that thing that you want, that thing that you desire? Will you be like Jonah? Will you cling to it and not let it go and be super angry? Or will you accept it and hold it loosely and say, Lord, thank you for this. It's yours whenever you want it, but thank you for it, Lord. Will you give it back to Him? Maybe it's with a child. Maybe you're a mother. Maybe you're a dad. Maybe it's about your child and you've prayed and you have this child. And you know, isn't it the goal of parenting that God gives a child and He entrusts that child to some parents? And then the parents are to raise that child according to the Lord, to grow in the Lord, to know the Lord. And then what do? We're supposed to raise that child in the Lord and then what? Give them back. Send them out. Send them out. Release them. Let them go. We get them for a time, and then our goal is to train them in the way they should go, and then let them go, send them out. That's the goal of parenting. And that's why we have baby dedications. That's why it's so good right at the beginning that when we first receive this infant child that we that we hold loosely, that we know this is a gift from the Lord and it is the Lord's child. And it's so good to say, Lord, thank you so much for this child. And you know what? I dedicate this child to you. And we do that in Baptist churches. We have a baby dedication. That's what the parents are saying. It's taken from this passage. It's taken from Hannah. And what the Lord has given in this child, we say, Lord, I give this child back to you. I want this child to be yours. And I want to raise them according to your will. And I want to send them out. That's parenting. Hannah did this. Hannah was a great parent. Hannah dedicated her child to the Lord. She was first in her relationship with the Lord. She received the gift of this child. She loved this child. She nurtured this child. She weaned this child. And then she sent this child back. That's the goal of parenting. Maybe your baby is a big boy now. Maybe you've got a big daughter now. Have you released them? Have you dedicated that child to the Lord? Have you said, Lord, this is your child. She is yours. He is yours. I entrust this child to you, Lord. I'm sending this child out. Whatever you're asking for your kids, or for anything else for that matter, are you willing to give it back to God if He gives it? It reminds me of Jesus' prayer. Not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. Are you willing to give back to Him whatever He gives to you? Hold it loosely. Whatever you're desiring, whatever you're pouring your heart out to the Lord for, not caring what anybody thinks, be willing to give back to Him what He gives to you. Have that right in your heart. Hold loosely the things that God gives you. Maybe the way the Lord feels, maybe it's, well, if I give it to you, will you still depend on me just as much? I like how much you're talking to me and praying to me and depending on me. If I give you this thing, will you continue to depend on me like that? I don't know. I'm thinking out loud. Maybe that's part of the Lord's heart. I know He wants a close relationship with you and with me. So don't cling to it. You see, the problem is where God gives you something and then you no longer hold it, but it holds you. That's where the problem is. Hold it loosely. Realize everything is a gift from the glorious Father of lights. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we're going to have a time of prayer, and Chris is going to come and lead us in a song. And I don't know what the Lord's telling you this morning, but you need to put it to action. Whatever He's telling you, He says, don't ever hear my word and just leave and say, oh, good, that was good. I heard the word of the Lord. No, God says, that's foolish. Hear His word and be a doer. What is God asking you to do today as a result of what you've heard? Chris is going to lead us in a song, and you do whatever God is telling you to do. Maybe He's calling you to Himself. Maybe you've realized you don't have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've realized today that you know a lot about the Lord. You can tell people anything they want to know about Jesus and the church or whatever. Maybe you've been in church a lot throughout your life. But maybe this morning, the Lord is tapping you and He's saying, I don't know you. Do you know me personally? Do you have a personal relationship with me? Because, friends, that is the difference between heaven and hell. Jesus said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, In the day of judgment, at the end of all time, many people will say to Jesus, he said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. I'm paraphrasing. I did this in your name, and I did that. I cast out demons in your name. And I prophesied in your name. I did all these things in your name, Lord. He said, I will look at them and I'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, it's all about a relationship with Jesus. You have to know Jesus. You have to repent of your sins, put your faith in him to save you from your sins. And then you enter in that relationship with him. And then he comes to live on the inside of you. He gives you the gift of his Holy Spirit. And then he's with you. He's in you. The Bible says, he who has the Son, then you have him. He who has the Son has life. And that's eternal life. When you die, you'll be with him forever. And you'll have him here on earth. You'll have the abundant life here on earth. But the Bible also says, he who does not have the Son does not have life. So if you die and you stand before the Lord and there's no Jesus, he says, I didn't know you. You don't have a relationship with me. Depart from me. I never knew you. And so maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you need to pour out your heart to the Lord this morning, calling out to him saying, save me from my sins. I believe that you died for me, Jesus. I believe you paid for my punishment on the cross, that you're raised from the dead. And I'm pouring out my heart to you. I'm calling on to you. And I'm asking you to save me from my sins. Come into my life. I want to give my life to you, Jesus. I want to be your follower. I want to be your disciple. Maybe that's you today. And if that's you today, then do Hannah's second lesson. Don't care what others think. You need to make that known. If Jesus is calling you to himself, when Chris leads us in this song, you need to step out of your seat and you need to come down the aisle. You need to meet me down here. And I won't embarrass you or anything, but you need to make it known that you've believed that you're following Jesus. It's a public thing that he wants you to do. So don't care what others think. You just come if he's worked in your heart in that way today. Be willing to give back to him what he gives to you. Maybe it's time for you to just give your life completely to him. Your life has been a gift, but maybe you've been running it. Maybe you realize, I just want to give it back to you, Lord. I just want to give you my life completely. I want to surrender to you completely. And if that's you, you come, you let it be known. We want to rejoice with you over that. We want to see what the Lord's doing here today. Don't keep it private. We want to know what he's doing so we can encourage you. We can pray for you. Maybe you've realized that you need to join this church. That's what he's calling you to do, that he wants you to plug in. He wants you to serve him in a congregation, a body of believers. And you've realized this is where he wants me. This is the place I'm supposed to be. Well, then you come. You come and join this church. Whatever your decision is, you come as Chris leads us in this song.